hear Billy after he'd practiced some. That was he's not singing enough now, but he's singing enough to bless my socks. Making them roll up and down and all that. So. Thank the Lord for Billy and Darlene and all that they do. Mike and Renee Swingler, where are you at? Just Renee. We'll pray for Renee. But Mike and Renee have been married 35 years today. Mere newlyweds. And let me remind you that we are not canceling church to honor the Lord's birth, okay? We will be here Christmas Day. It's going to be a special day because we're going to observe baptism and the Lord's Supper. Now, I usually believe that the Lord's Supper is exactly that, supper being in the evening. But we'll probably celebrate the Lord's lunch or brunch because we'll be observing the Lord's Supper at our worship service and baptism. I can't think of any better way to celebrate there. And some of you who have been saved and are not yet scripturally baptized, what a glorious day that would be to follow the Lord on His birthday. This morning, the greatest Christian message. During December, we've been zeroing in on Luke 2 on Wednesday nights. And we've sung about and preached about the wise men and the shepherds and Bethlehem's babe and the angelic host. And it's all really good, and more than that, it's really biblical. And so night after night on Wednesdays, we have been sharing in this manner. But at this time of the year, it's easy to get caught up in the Christ of the cradle and forget the Christ of the cross. Some think of Jesus as beginning in Bethlehem, rather than dwelling on the fact that He always was and always will be. We warn people, don't get caught up in the tinsel and the tape. And yet we wind up singing, poor little Jesus boy lying in a manger. Because we feel comfortable with the babe of Bethlehem and not so much the Christ on the cross. So this morning we have a message of hope, and it is truly the Christmas message. And it's so needed for us today. The scripture says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read in the beginning, that thought alone will overload the lights on your Christmas tree. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word that was Jesus. How do we know? Because like the Bible says, the Bible tells me so. And so Jesus was not an afterthought. He was in the beginning. He was the one that said, let there be, and there was. To Him to say, let there be light, and there was light. Just at the sound of His voice, that's the Jesus that we need to get caught up in. In the beginning wasn't Bethlehem. And Mary's womb was the method by which He would enter into the world that He created. But in the beginning, God. In Him was life and light. Verses 4 through 9 say, in Him was life. In other words, He has come that you and I might have life, and that we might have life abundantly. Not just a life insurance program, but a life assurance program. He has come that we might have life. And people wanting life, a real life, a full life, then come to Jesus. It's that simple or that complex. Come to Jesus. In Him is life. And He is the light of the world. Sometimes, Billy, we talk about in darkest Africa. But let me tell you something. In the darkest United States, darkness prevails wherever Jesus is minimized. Whenever Jesus is not maximized and glorified and lifted up that people might be drawn to Him. We sing the song, "The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus." In darkness, Jesus the light. But the Bible says that the darkness comprehended it not. Vance Havner wrote a book entitled "Playing Marbles with Diamonds." And it's based on a diamond mine in Africa. And children who didn't know the worth of diamonds were playing marbles with them. That had been me, we'd have been playing keepsies. When I read how the darkness comprehended him not, I look around today and wonder, don't you know who Jesus is? Don't you know who Jesus is? King of all kings, Lord of all lords, Savior. And then, do you know him personally? Do you know him intimately? The other question is, do you even want to? He is light. He is life. We pray to him. We sing praises to him. We preach about him. We warn folks that he is coming back to take his followers with him, that where he is, we may be also. All of this that we repeat over and over and over. And the Bible says, and the darkness comprehended it not. There's a lot of people today that don't have a clue of what Christmas is. Don't you be going in the line and saying happy holidays to you. You say, thank God for Christ that we can observe Christmas. I like what old Abel used to say in Spanish, Christmas means more of Christ. And that's what we need to share with people. Well, he's in the world. He was in the world. And the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, it's really hard for me, John, to wrap my arms around this, to think about it. Jesus was in the world that he created with people that he created, with people that he created in his own image, and they comprehended it not. Romans 1:20 says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal Godhead, so that they are without excuse." I think of that fact of we're created with a void, with an emptiness in our heart and in our life that'll never be filled until Jesus is on his rightful place of the throne. Amen. Of our heart. And in Kenya, and this is all working out here, what if we'd orchestrated this? But in Kenya, Jimmy Draper and some other pastors had gone to minister, and they had led untold numbers of people to the Lord. And as they were heading back, they came across this barren spot, and there was an old man leaning on a staff. And I think it was Jimmy Draper that said, stop the bus. And he and a couple of guys went out there and they said, we are here to tell you about Jesus. That there's enough around you to realize that to convince man of his eternal Godhead. And you know what the old man said? What took you so long? What took you so long? In Mark chapter 4, there's a powerful passage where Jesus and his disciples were in a boat and the storm arose. You remember that? And Jesus was asleep in the bow. Now, I would like to think, with that storm raging all around, I'd have just curled up next to Jesus and said, go on, storm. But I'd have done like the rest of them. Lord, wake up. We're about to perish. We can't handle this wind, and we certainly can't handle this wave, these waves, and we're about to perish. And Jesus arose, I love this, and he rebuked the wind. I don't know what he said. Quit blowing. I can't sleep. No. But he rebuked the wind. And the Bible says that he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind quit blowing. And the sea just calmed down. And here's what the disciples said. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now think about that. Why is it that the wind and the sea listen to the Lord Jesus and we don't? Well, could it be that we look at the babe of Bethlehem and we say, how could he help? We sing, sweet little Jesus boy, lying in a manger. And sometimes, folks, we miss worshiping the one who rebukes the wind and calms the sea. And we try, at this time of the year, so many people outside of Christ try to reduce the Lord Jesus Christ to a manger and realize he's an awesome, awesome God. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Sometimes I get real upset with Israel. Now, I'm just going to get a little political right now. Thank goodness we're going to get somebody that's an ambassador to Israel who knows what Israel's all about. Amen. I praise the Lord for that. But I read the Old Testament, and I get upset. How can these people see everything, Rusty, that God has done, and they still don't listen, and they still don't follow him? And somewhere along that line, my finger rises up and says, what about you, bud? You know, that it's us in that same manner. But for them, can you imagine praying that Messiah would come, professing of his coming, singing praises to Messiah who would come to set us free and then not believe or receive him when he came? You ever pray for something? I mean, with all of your heart, and then God answers your prayer and you don't even realize it? You don't even recognize it? When our children were born, from the day that they were born, every night, Joan and I'd hold hands, and part of our prayer was we prayed that they would accept the Lord at an early age. Every night, that was our prayer. Not that I got a promotion, not that we had a new car, not that this and that. Every night we prayed that our kids would accept the Lord at an early age. And there was a Sunday that Keith tugged on my pants, and he said, Dad, I want to go talk to the preacher. Now, he's young. He doesn't understand what he's doing. But nevertheless, I took him to the preacher. And the preacher sat down to him. I said, I think he's too young. He said he knows as much about forgiveness of sin and the cross on which Christ died as you do. You have to remember that we come like a little child. A little child doesn't come like us. And so he prayed. He accepted Christ. Later, he was baptized. And Joan and I held hands and we continued to pray the same prayer that we'd always prayed. And we prayed, Lord, I pray that our kids would accept you at an early age. And I stopped right there and I almost started crying. Because the thing that we had prayed for, God brought to pass, and I didn't even recognize it. And sometimes we pray, and we don't even look for the answer prayer. Dear Lord, we need rain. And then we don't have an umbrella. We're not making any preparations. We need to pray believing. Now, you want to see children come to Christ at an early age? It's not a difficult thing because we come like they do. They don't come like we do. They come in simple childlike faith. And we say,
well, when they understand it all, when they're grown up enough, adult enough.
Some of you are not adult enough. But you need to get less adult and more childlike. And have that childlike faith. When my son and my grandsons were small, I would stand them up on something and say, come here and jump to Dad. Come here and jump to Pawpaw. Come in and jump to whatever I am now and everything. And they just sail out there. You better be ready to catch them because they were coming, ready or not. But now they're all over 6 foot tall. They all weigh over 200 pounds. Come here and jump to Pawpaw. His knees will buckle, he'll go down, and I'll break my nose. Because they're living here instead of living here. And we come with a childlike faith, trusting him. Oh, I like the people that say, well, I'm not going to accept him until I see him. Yeah. Well, why don't you do the same thing with air? Don't breathe until you can see it, okay? But you know that when you do, you know you got it. Amen? And for those of you that have asthma or anything else, when you don't have it, you know that too. Well, you want to see them come at an early age? Read to them from the Word of God. Every day, in every way, read to them from the Word of God. Share with them what sin is. Share with them who the Savior is. Share with them the reason that He came, that we might spend life eternal with Him. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. And the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Even at this one time of year, I believe the devil instructs people to say happy holidays and not happy holy days or Merry Christmas. Now the scripture says, in him was power to become. Notice what this says. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Power to become. Power to become. As I thought about this, there's several things that came to my mind. Peter says that God is not willing that one person perish, but that all come to repentance and faith in Him. Yes. Hebrews says that it is His desire to bring many sons into glory. The power to become, the authority, the privilege, the right to become a child of God. It's an invitation, if you will. Now, I've talked to so many people who didn't know their father, who thought that they were either abandoned by their father or abandoned by somebody that they loved, and they were all alone. Now, for those of you who think that, God's got a special picture here this morning, and I want you to look at it. The God of all glory, the King of all kings, says to you, I want you to be my child. I want you to be a joint heir with Jesus. And you say to him, what? Well, I'm not ready. I want to wait for a more convenient season. There are a lot of people that look for a more convenient season that never came. Well, we don't believe in this born-again thing, this saved thing. We're just into this golden rule thing. Well, let me ask you, how's that working for you? Not real good, huh? Well, to know him. Power to become. And the gospel story, the Christmas story, is really all about God made salvation available in Christ Jesus. And he offers the invitation. He says, come, come. But he does not force people to be saved. Now, I don't really understand that. I've said it and I've preached it to where, you know, God wants you to come on your own and he's not going to force his way upon you and all of that. I understand. I say that, but I don't understand that. Because if I was God, you would come. But God wants us to love him and to come to him on our own. Wow. He doesn't force you to be saved. God has provided the lamb, but you have to bring the desire to come. You ever had somebody invite you to dinner, and Joan will always say, and what should I bring? And somebody will say, bring an appetite. That's real difficult for me. But we want to know what we can bring. He's laid it out, folks. It's a question of whether we accept the invitation or not. And salvation is a supernatural thing. You were born one time physically. You know that. You're here. At least most of you are. Some of you, But we know that we've been born one time physically. But do you have that same assurance, that same understanding to know whether you have been born again spiritually? Because the natural birth won't get you there. Amen. It has to be the supernatural birth. It's an act of God when you submit to him. And if you don't, he doesn't. I love the story of Jesus and Nicodemus. I like it even better at this time of year because there's people that say, well, we believe in the Virgin Mary. I said, we do too? Well, whatever Mary says, that's what we want to do. I said, really? And they said, really? And I said, good, let's look over here in John chapter 2. And Jesus was at Cana of Galilee and at a wedding feast. And Mary said, whatever Jesus says to you, that do you. You believe that? Yeah. Okay, let's look over here in chapter 3. Jesus said, you must be born again. Are you going to do it? It's absolutely essential for your salvation. Well, Nicodemus was a religious man. But he was not a relational man. He had a head knowledge, but he didn't have a heart knowledge. And he came to Jesus by night because what would people in the country church think if he came during the daytime? What would people think if during the invitation, as a grown man, he gave his heart and life to Jesus? You think things have really changed a lot? Nicodemus, Jesus told him, he said, you need to be born again. He said, how can I? I'm 6'3". And that's my interpretation. I'm a man full grown. How can I enter a second time into my mother's womb and be born again? Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must. Absolutely necessary. It's imperative. You must be born again. Well, the Word became flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You have to see that Jesus didn't become the Savior of the world at His incarnation, as His birth in Bethlehem. Nor did He become, as some believe, He became the Savior on the cross of Calvary. Not on the cross of Calvary, not at His resurrection, or His ascension, or His return. He always was, and He always will be. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That's who our Jesus is. So what happened here at Bethlehem? The Word was made flesh. Jesus laid His glory down and became flesh, was born of Mary. He identified with us that we might identify with Him. He dwelt among us. He walked where we walked. The Bible says He was in all ways tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so we see Him. We read of Him. We look for Him, full of grace and truth. How could you not want to know more about Him? The one I'm going to spend eternity with. How can I? We have His Word. I spoke with a believer the other day, and he said, I drive a lot in my career, and I get to listen to gospel messages and gospel music 8 to 10 hours a day. And I can't get enough. I want to know more about Him. Wow. And the Scripture says, this is He. John bare witness of Him and cried, this was He of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. John the Baptist would have never made it as a preacher today. I'm just being real honest. He wouldn't. Because we're all about bigger and better and everything. And John the Baptist, he got it down to 2 disciples and he gave them to Jesus. We don't need to try to get more. We need to give more away and get them to Jesus. It's a wonderful thing when people say, would you come to the country church? Would you come and visit with me? And that's a wonderful thing because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But it's far more important that we bring them to Jesus. Amen. That we bring them to Jesus. This who was He is He. And he quotes old John the Baptizer. Jesus is the one the prophets preached about. He's the one all glory sang about. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. How do we know? Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. This was he. In John chapter 8, somewhere around verse 58, Jesus was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and they said, what are you saying that we're a sinner? We have Abraham for our father. Man, I love what Jesus said. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. The Jew and the Muslim can speak of Abraham as their father, but I worship the one that was before Abraham, that was before Bethlehem. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is he, is what John says. He is grace and truth. Verse 16 and 17. For out of his fullness, or abundance, we have all received. In other words, we've all had a share, and we all were supplied with one grace after another. Spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing. Favor upon favor. Gift heaped upon gift. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now here's the good news and also the bad news. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. You know what that means? You're sitting here this morning and you're accountable for what you've seen and what you've heard. The gospel of grace, the gospel of truth. Accountable. This grace hath appeared to all men. How can people walk along in December of all times and not see Jesus? Not think of Jesus? This grace and truth has been extended to us. The grace and the truth that brings salvation. How could people turn away? Well, you've heard the Christmas story. Maybe not in the way that you were expecting. But his grace and truth has been extended to you. And how will you respond? If you're not saved, you don't need to have a preacher pointing his bony finger at you. The Holy Spirit of God's already done that. First time I attended a Bible-believing church, this preacher stood and he said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I bowed my neck and I thought, who does that self-righteous hypocrite think he is talking about me? He didn't know me from Adam's hind ox. But the Holy Spirit of God did. And the Holy Spirit of God sought me out and said, he's talking to you. Not that preacher, but God. You're a sinner and you know it, and you need to be saved and you know it. And God's revealed that to you. Now you can either put up or you can shut up. You can either let go and let God have his way, or you can turn your back on him. It is up to you. He's given you a will. And you've got to surrender that will. You've got to submit yourself and your will to him. Amen. Whosoever will may come. Well, I don't know if God really wants me to be saved. He does. He did everything to make our salvation possible. He does, he does, He does. You don't have to pray about it. You can know without a shadow of a doubt. He wants you saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He does, he does, he does. Today is the day of salvation. That's what the scripture says. Harden not your heart. You see, there's a recompense. There's a result. There's a, I hate to use the term, reward for saying no to the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says when you say no to the Holy Spirit of God, and he's leading you to make a decision, and you say no, it's easier to say no the next time. It's easier to say no the next time. We build up a callus in our heart and in our life. Proverbs 29:1 says, he that being often reproved. In other words, the Holy Spirit's saying, ma'am, I'm talking to you. Sir, I'm talking to you. He that being often reproved hardens his heart will one day be destroyed, and that without remedy. And ladies, if your husband is lost, don't you come to me when he's dead and say, Brother Butch, I think he's in heaven now, because right before he died, he said, oh, God! I don't think that's going to get it when he's faced with an awesome and holy God. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. And if you are saved, why wouldn't you follow him in baptism? And on this day that we celebrate his birth, Christmas Day, wouldn't that be a glorious thing for you to show the whole world that you believe that Jesus died for you, that he was buried, he rose again, that you're dead to yourself, that you're raised to walk in this new life that he has given you. Amen. And then you're saved, you've been identified, and you don't have a church home? Why not? Why not? If not here, where? Somewhere else.
Well, Brother Butch, I'm looking for a church that's a little more perfect.
Well, let me tell you something. As soon as you show up, it won't be. You know. We need the Savior. We need to be forgiven and to come to him. Oh, come. Let us adore him. Let's stand and pray. Father, we do thank you for your word today, and Lord, for the Christmas message presented in a way that we can all understand it. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit has access to every heart and every life here today. That right now that people would be giving over to your Holy Spirit. They would say, Lord, have you spoken to me through your word? Is there a decision that I need to make? Father, give me the courage to set aside everything else, step out and let go and let God have his way. Preacher, this is why I'm coming. I want to be saved. Preacher, this is why I'm coming. I'm saved and I want to follow him as a believer in baptism. Preacher, I've saved and I'm identified and I need a church home and I want to plant my life here. Lord, would you speak to hearts, and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing.
Oh, come, let us adore.
We come.
Oh, come, let us adore.
We come. We respond. We let go. We let God have his way. All about Christ. All about Christ.
Come, O ye faithful, joyful.
Let's don't just sing this next verse. Let's mean this verse. Lord, you've spoken to me. Let us adore him. Come, let us adore him. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? In just a moment, we're going to sing one verse of Just As I Am. And maybe this verse is not for anybody here, and it's a verse for me. Because I don't want to leave here with innocent blood on my hands. The watchman on the wall, the Bible says if he cried out and said, danger's coming. If the people didn't listen, the enemy came, took their life, but their blood was not required at the watchman's hand. But if the watchman doesn't cry out and doesn't say, this could be the last invitation that you hear, then you will die in your sins. But God will hold this watchman accountable for sharing the word. And so I want you to know, this verse may be for you. This verse may be for you. Sing this verse. If God speaks, you come just like you are.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blood, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, I would be lost, but mercy and grace my freedom bought, and now to glory in your cross, O Lamb of God, I come.
One other verse. The harvest, the fruit is in, but there's still some gleaning out there. There's still some people need to make a decision. Will you do it? Of God.